what stadium you in, boy.
Well, welcome, welcome, welcome. You know what stadium I am because I'm wearing my Cardinal red today. You know what stadium I am. This is Pete
Tate. Recording in progress.
I'm in the Stanford Stadium. This is Stanford University Stadium behind me, baby. Can't you tell? And I'm here with my, you know, my right-hand man, sidekick, Mr. J. Everett Pearsall. How you doing today?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Thanks for asking. I can't be more excited to be here.
Oh, man. We got another exciting day on the Watkins Award. Man, I can't wait till our guests come in today. Mr. Pearsall, all I can tell you, boy, you've been on a roll the past couple of weeks. I should say the past couple of months, because this is our 29th edition. So you've been rolling, man, and I want to give you kudos. There you go. You know what? At least you're on the home front. You're on the home front, and I always appreciate the fact that you're on the home front, because that means you're safe. But then, you know, I get a little toasted every time I look behind you, and you just got to have those stars sitting in the back. But hey, as I've always said, you know, there's none other than, you know, our own Matt Daniels that makes me, you know, at least feel a little bit more comfortable with them stars back there behind you. But how you been, Mr. Pearsall? What's going on with you?
I've been great, man. I've been absolutely fantastic. I am finished and closed the books officially on the, I'll call it the 2020-2021 class of the Watkins Award. And now I'm excitingly beginning my work on this upcoming year. It's exciting. There's much work to do. We still have some uncertainty in our world today, but it will not stop this year's Watkins Award from proceeding forward. So I'm very excited about that, and got an opportunity to meet with some people, and we're starting to, you know, craft our plan for this year. But it's exciting, invigorating, and good to be getting back to what we will call our new normal.
Well, you know, you are really and truly a piece of work, because just a couple of days ago, you were in Las Vegas, and then before I knew it, you was in Tampa. I mean, man, there is nowhere that a possible Watkins candidate can hide from J. Everett Pearsall. I mean, you looking under all the rocks in all the stadiums, listening to all the coaches from the West Coast to the East Coast, down in the South, up North. I mean, man, you are quite a jet setter. But I do want to say, you know, I got my Cardinal red on. You got your red on. I mean, we're matching today. And I noticed that it's nice and crisp, just like me, nice and crisp. But, you know, if somebody wanted to get a shirt like that one with the Alliance logo on it, is it any way possible somebody can get that kind of shirt?
Absolutely. If you go to our magnificent website, nasandnancy4as.com, you'll see at the very front page an opportunity to go into our merchandise section. And in our merchandise section, we have a number of items that you're able to order. We have hoodies, we have t-shirts, we have polos, we have backpacks, we have golf balls, we have mugs, we have all kinds of items that you'll enjoy. I'll also tell you what I did not say last week, which is if there's an item that you don't see there, send us an email. We might be able to customize it for you, because I always boast about the things that I have, and some of those things, they're just in my possession. But I'm going to go out on a ledge and say, if there's an item that we're capable of duplicating, even if it's not on the website, I will do my very best to create that customized item for you. So just send us an email. But we have a lot of stuff on the website, so you'll have to go through a lot of items before you get there.
So let me ask this question. You're saying if I want a custom item that I don't see on the website, all I have to do is email and I can get that custom item.
It will be forwarded directly to me and then I will start working on fulfillment.
Well, I know of a custom item I would like to have. I need your help with. I mean, as a matter of fact, I will be the person responsible for buying it and then I will use it as an item to raise money for all the great things that the Watkins Award represents and the National Alliance of African American Athletes oversee. So the merchandise that I like to get my hand on is something that's right over your left shoulder. I see a jersey that says Lewis on the back of that jersey. I mean, this is a shame and a disgrace. I mean, a shame and a disgrace. And I'm going to ask our guest coming up, which is absolutely the extraordinary, just a ball of personality, Chris Lewis himself. I mean, you got the jersey. Now, how can I get or have one of my guests, because guests are listening to this show from all over. There are Stanford alumni all over the country. So how can I get one of those jerseys and have it autographed by Chris Lewis himself?
Well, there's Stanford, you know, individuals and fans all over the world. You know, that's the Ivy League of the West, so don't get it misconstrued. So if you want something like that, as individual and customized, once again, make the request, and you know that I got the juice in the pipeline. I'll make it happen if at all possible.
Oh, make it happen, Pearsall. So that's the new name, make it happen, Pearsall. So we're going to deluge you with some emails, and we're going to see if you're going to make it happen, Pearsall. So my first request verbally, and I'm going to follow up with an email that I get me a Chris Lewis jersey and I want it signed by none other than not you, Mr. Pearsall, but I want Chris Lewis to sign my jersey for me and I will make a donation to the Alliance. Is that okay with you?
Well, you know, we're taking money any way we can get it. That's the only way you operate these days. That's okay with me, Coach Tate.
Oh, well, thank you very much. So here's where I want to start. You know, this whole thing of college football, and in particular, Stanford. We've had several Stanford guys to come on here. Now, our education at Stanford. An education, the value of that education. Let's say you don't have a scholarship and they're an intelligent young man like you, Mr. Pearsall. When you was 17, 18 years old, you know, you go to one of the top colleges in the country if you wanted to. You could have gone anywhere. You could have gone out to Stanford. But unfortunately, your parents could not afford Stanford, even with the little scholarship that you get. But we got gentlemen like our upcoming guest, Chris Lewis, who goes to Stanford, and the tuition annually at a Stanford is $100,000 at the bare minimum. So, Mr. Pearsall, I mean, to conventional wisdom, a lot of people don't think that African-Americans can even get into Stanford, that because they play football, they lower their standards in order to allow them into the school. What's your take on something like that?
Lower their standards, that's very interesting. And especially as you just stated did you say African American athletes?
Yes, sir. That's what
I find that absolutely absurd. Week in and week out, I continue to bring to you individuals who have scored some of the highest SAT scores of any athlete that's performing at the highest level of college athletics, as well as guys and individuals who are number one, not in their school, not in their city, not in their state, but in the country. We're talking about 4.5s. As we showed you a couple of weeks ago, 5.1s. We're talking about 4.7s and 4.9s. It's the real deal. And so when you look at the individuals that we've brought on here as individuals that are symbolic of what the Watkins Award is all about, how on earth can you just have any thought in your mind that an African-American athlete is not capable of getting into a Stanford and the like? I'm showing it to you week in and week out. Can you remind me how many weeks has it been?
29.
Okay.
29 weeks.
Okay. That's over half of a year. Week in and week out. I've shown it to you. That alone should dispel any notion that we're not capable and qualified to get those scholarships or have a seat at the table at these institutions.
Well, here's something that I'd like to bring up, Mr. Pearsall, and that is, you know, let's do a reset. The National Alliance of African American Athletes is an organization that has an award that honors the top African American scholar athlete that is a senior in high school. So what is the basic requirement for somebody who's just signing in, been hearing all this stuff about what it is that we talk about, think it's a bunch of hogwash, but just give us a brief understanding of what's the basic requirements?
So again, we have a nominating committee, and with our nominating committee, they're searching for the top 150 football players, the top 50 basketball players, and the top 50 baseball players. So initially, this is based on your athleticism. But organically, through our process, we now have a selection committee for those who choose to select to submit a package to compete for our award that really drives the whole essence of what a Watkins Award man is all about through the roof, where they send in things that will indicate to us and validate their scholastic aptitude in terms of what their grade and GPAs are, as well as writing an essay, letters of recommendation and the like. It's a comprehensive package that now our selection committee can look at and now be able to grade those individuals to determine year in and year out who deserves to be those top 4 to 6 individuals that we honor and bring into a class of the Watkins Award. And so again, it begins with athleticism, but through that process, you'll see year in and year out, we have multiple individuals that have above 4.0s or just below 4.0 grade point averages because the competition is real and the stage has been set.
Well, so help me with this. So I got the grades. I got the athleticism. Does that mean it's an automatic cinch to be a nominee for the Watkins Award?
Again, let me repeat. If you are an athlete that is in that ranking that I just gave you, 150 in football, 50 in basketball, 50 in baseball, now you become a nominee. We don't even get to the grade point average and everything else until after you've been nominated. Now, after you've been nominated for being a stellar athlete, the top in the country, now you get to tell us how great you are as an individual, as a community servant, someone who is giving back to the community, how much you pay attention to your books and showing us what your grade point average is, and writing an essay, and many other things that we incorporate in the package as well. So again, it starts out with your athleticism, but through our process, the athleticism of the individuals is negated completely because they are all great athletes. And now these individuals must compete on their merit.
Hmm. So the Watkins Award, essentially, you telling me it's not just a cinch because I'm a great athlete. It's not just a cinch because I got good grades. But I must have the total package. I got to have some other things, community service. I got to have letters from people in my community that will vouch for my character and who I am as a person in my community service. All these things all add up before you even actually recognize me as a potential candidate, not a candidate, but as a potential candidate.
All those things are validated. And it's through that mix and the evaluation of those things that were put together by the great Dr. Alexander Gavin. That's how we grade individuals to determine whether they deserve to be part of what we'll call the Watkins class or the Watkins alumni for a given year.
So you essentially saying to me, when I fill out the application, I make a mistake. I got a 2.9, but I put a 3.9. You gonna check this out? Yeah, I mean, you don't just take my application, say, oh, he has a 3.9, and go on and say, oh, we're gonna recognize this guy here. You we mean got, it's gonna work?
We've got doctors, lawyers, professors, and the like on our selection committee. It will all have to be validated. Believe that.
Well, there's a couple of things I want to recognize tonight as well. For those who may be watching us for the first time, listening to us for the first time, it's kind of hard to say listen because all cell phones can actually see video. But I just want to let everyone know that we are on all the major podcast platforms. Also, Raku, you can watch us on there every week. You can go to Rewind, Sports 60. It is something on the video on demand, TRS 60, the Raku channel. And you can watch all the former show. So this particular show, you can come back and you can see it again at another time. Now, you know, Mr. Pierce, I always want to do this before we have any guests on because, you know, people think we crazy. You know, we start talking about our guests and they start saying, man, they making these people because people just don't think that we have guests who fit this profile, especially when you see it or hear it for the first time. So the first thing I got to do a disclaimer. The views and opinion of the Watkins Award are those of Coach T. Tate and that guy right there in that red shirt, J. Everett Pearsall. So if you don't like something being said or you dispute some of the things that we talking about, hey, take it up with that guy right there. Leave me alone. Because, you know, obviously I get tired of the hate mail that's coming in. Because even when I talk about our upcoming guests, I mean, people going to say, man, here he go tripping again. He's smoking something. He must be out on the West Coast in one of those smoke shops or something. Because he's talking about some guy, some African-American guy that did all these things when he was in high school. So, you know, I just want to say that those are our views and opinion. Don't blame it on our sponsors, our advertisers, and of course, BBS Radio. So I want to give a shout out. I want to give a shout out to Auto Quick Lube. I want to give a shout out to JC Lofton's Exotic Car, JMA Solutions, and of course, Magic Waste Valet. We got some other people that are coming on board next week. I'll be talking about them. So I've said enough is enough. So in 1999, this is where I want to start, 1999. Now, I, you know, Mr. Pierce, so I always find something interesting about the Watkins Award honorees. So in 1999, you had Dirk Toews, Luke Power, you had Representative Nick Maddox. Can't just call him Nick Maddox no more. You have to call him Representative Nick Maddox. And yours truly, who is coming up, Chris Lewis. Now, in that class, you had Dirk, who went to Penn State. Of course, you had Nick, Representative Nick Maddox, that went down to Florida State. And then you had Luke Powell and Chris Lewis that went to Stanford. Now, you had two of them in that class. Now, all four of them had opportunities to play in the NFL. All four. I mean, again, people think we're crazy. You know, how they going to have this award and these guys got these tremendous GPAs? So let me talk about my guest before I bring him up. First of all, he was one of the top recruits in the nation. Every award you can name, he won the award. But here's one particular award that kind of just kind of covers everything. Because if you get this award, this tells you who you are. He was named the 1988 Gatorade National High School Football Player of the Year. And he was a consensus prep All-American. Okay, and he was named on the first team a Parade All-American. So I could go on and on and on about his accolades. But once he got to Stanford and once he started playing, I mean, clearly his stats will rival any of the great quarterbacks that came through Stanford. I mean, this dude was the real deal. And so with that said, he was not only an incredible athlete, he was a tremendous student in the classroom. And to be out at Long Beach Poly, man, I want to make sure that I introduce this guest the right way, because when I first met him, man, this dude had all the personality. He had the looks, the Hollywood look. I mean, this dude, man, we're going to get into how he survived Stanford. With that said, I want to introduce our next guest, Chris Lewis. How you doing, sir?
Oh, I'm doing well, man. It's good to see you guys.
Oh, man. You know, I can't get over you always smiling. That's the first thing. You always,
can't help it.
Man, you always smiling. And here, you know, I'm jumping straight in this thing. You come from an athletic family. So obviously it's competitive in that household. And before I even go any further, I mean, your sister was a volleyball player.
Right.
And she won a national championship. Oh, and
right.
By the way,
two of them. Oh my goodness.
And she went to Stanford as well.
Right.
So as a kid growing up, I always used this word, in the Lewis household. What's going on as a kid, man? You know, you in grade school, you in elementary school. Were these seeds planted in elementary school?
They were. So the way our household was set up, my mom was a school teacher. So there was no escaping. She knew when report cards were coming. She knew, you know, she knew our teachers by first name and their numbers. And, you know, so there was no escape in that in that front. So so we knew we couldn't get away with anything early on. So, you know, instead of fighting it, you know, you just you hit the books and make sure you're staying out of trouble. So, you know, and we did. And you know, our family was very tight knit growing up. And, you know, my dad kind of handled the athletic side and my mom, you know, handled the education piece. So so we were covered on all fronts.
So you get to you coming through the youth league, and as a youth football player, you know, you are an incredible athlete. It's obvious this didn't happen when you was in high school, but as a youth football player, did you have any dreamed that you were going to be this incredible high school athlete?
To tell you the truth, I didn't. You know, I played a lot of different sports growing up. As Everett knows, you know, I was a volleyball player, and growing up in Southern California near the beach, you know, it's a very popular sport out there. And I was excelling at volleyball, I think much more than I was at football. And it's funny because when I started at Poly, I wasn't going to play football. And so I told my dad, I was like, look, I'm just going to focus on volleyball and basketball, and that's it. And one of the coaches on the team had seen me play at Pop Warner, and he knew that I enrolled at Poly, and he reached out to me and said, hey, look, no, you're not out here, but would you mind just coming out and throwing the ball? Just come out to one practice. That's all I'm asking. And so I literally, like, fresh off of volleyball, these cats look at me coming out there. I had shorts and flip flops, and I look like a straight volleyball player. You know, I'm in middle of Long Beach. These guys have never seen someone that looks like me. You know, like, and to be wearing that. And so, so they gave me a ball, and I remember we were freshmen. So Kareem Kelly went on and played at SC, broke a bunch of records there. He was our fastest guy on the team, and they said, all right, just run. If you can hit him, like, just throw the ball. And so he takes off on a fly route, and I have to do a little kind of half, you know, drop back and just let it go. And just boom, runs right under it. And the varsity coach was out there. He was just like, go get him a helmet. And they didn't let me leave after that. I was trying. They didn't let me leave, and so I'm glad they did because it worked out well for me.
So you get to your senior year, you got all these accolades. I mean, clearly everybody in the country is recruiting you. You know, I want to get into your mind now. What possesses you to stay out there on the West Coast, and particularly go to a Stanford opposed to the other schools out there that were much more popular in the late 90s?
Sure. It's a good question. I mean, education was always a big part of our family. And I, you know, as much as I joke around and say that I was running for my mom, it was important for us. And we wanted to get as good a grades as I can get, and as good as I could play on the field. I always wanted to match those. And so my sister, who went through the recruiting process 2 years ahead of me, obviously she had chosen Stanford, and I had spent so much time with her. On every break that I could get, I would go up and spend time with her on campus. And so just fell in love with the school, you know, and the opportunity, you know, at least at the beginning to be able to, you know, play football, and they had a top caliber volleyball team as well. So I was being recruited for the volleyball team as well. So it just felt like this natural synergy. So, you know, I think at the time I was looking at Cal and Notre Dame, I think was my top three, and wound up going to Stanford.
Man, that's a heck of a top three. But here you are in high school, and even during that time, your playbook may have only been, I don't know, 20 pages, 30 pages. You get to Stanford, and despite you redshirting your first year, but you get to Stanford. How do you balance your academics and your athletic goals the first year you get there? Because I'm looking at that stadium behind me, man. That's a heck of a stadium, man. I mean, and then when you actually on the outside of that stadium, Palo Alto, man, it's nothing but money. I'm going to get you on the next question, but it's nothing but money out there. How do you make that adjustment quick enough so your grades stay balanced throughout your career out there at Stanford?
Yeah, I just think it's focus, you know, and when you come into the, you know, I mean, what Stanford, I think, did a really great job. I mean, most of us that are on the team, you know, just you have to come in with a certain level of discipline, right? You know, because you have to apply. Stanford is one of the only schools that you have to actually apply to the school and get in before you can actually get the official offer. And so, just that alone, you know, just separated a lot of guys, and we're just naturally disciplined. But I mean, when you get into the actual football program, I mean, you have no time, at least in the beginning, to do anything else other than practice, school, go get your work done, right? Rinse and repeat, right? And so, you know, we actually excelled. And on top of that, Stanford did a really good job at just providing support, you know, whatever we need. And so, you need a tutor, if you need anything, like, you know, whatever time you need, like, you just ask and you'll get it. So a lot of guys took advantage of it. It's funny, like, a lot of guys on the team are actually tutors themselves. And they were not only tutoring football players, but they were tutoring regular students as well. So It was just a different caliber of guys. I mean, even I was blown away by, you know, how smart some of these guys, some of my teammates were.
Well, you talked about when you was – in high school, how you know, at that day that you remember throwing that pass for the first time out there with the football team, you got flip-flops. All right, you get to Stanford. You got your flip-flops. You Mr. All-American. You everything. Now, we talk about the balance, the discipline. All right, now I want to really know, because we got a lot of young men. We got a lot of parents who are listening, watching this show, and, you know, we trying to make sure that we educate them about this process of the transition from high school to college to the real world, whether it's the NFL or into corporate America, such as yourself. But what do you, because when you get to Stanford, oh, baby, you a nice looking guy. You wearing your flip-flops. And they say it's not the books you read, but the people you associate yourself. You got all the honeys after you, buddy. And it ain't nothing but money out there. The ugliest thing look real good because you know it's about money, baby. How do you balance yourself out there amidst? Because I know some fail, man. They couldn't just deal with it. But what did Chris Lewis do?
Sir, I mean, it is about balance, right? I know I could sit here and lie that I and tell you I didn't partake in, you know, all the fun activities that that college brings your way, you know. But, you know, you just also need to realize you're there for a purpose, right? You know, and they're paying you scholarship, you know, for you to go out there, not only perform on the field, but, like, you got to take advantage of it, right? You know, you only have this very slim time in your life, like, where you're getting this opportunity to play and further your dream on the field, but also you're getting this stepping stone in life and from an education standpoint. And not only just like the stuff that you're learning, you know, in the books, but the people that you're around, you know, I mean, and I recognized really early, and luckily just because I had an older sister there who I would talk to a lot, but, you know, like I'm sitting in classes with, or sitting down the hall from Chelsea Clinton, right? You know, who's, you know, president's daughter. I'm friends with a Kennedy, you know, and it's just the level of people that you're around humbles you, you know, and my next door neighbor freshman year, she's like, I'm training to be an astronaut, you know, and that like blew my mind, right? You know, I'm like, like it made me feel like, well, I can throw a football this far, right? You know, like, you know, like it was incredible to see, you know, the talent and the hard work that these people put into their craft, just like I put in my craft, into my craft. And so I didn't feel like I'm less than them or anything like that. I just felt like we all were there for a purpose, and we were all there to accomplish whatever individual goal we had for.
Well, I'm a hand you over to, you know, J. Everett Pearsall, man. You didn't answer my questions very thoroughly. I know that there's a kid out there that's inspired. I mean, clearly we know there's some work to be done when you go to Stanford, but you know, it's no doubt that ever since I've known you, the character, the type of person you are just supersedes the type of athlete. But, you know, it doesn't hurt. But did you find, I just want to ask you one last quick question. Did you find any stress on your shoulders that you had a coach like Coach Willingham that you wanted to live up to a certain standard? Because, man, you went out there rocking and rolling once you got out on that football field amid injuries. But did you find yourself really motivated to make this guy look better?
Yeah, I mean, both of us. And we had a lot of conversations leading up to that, you know. And, a black coach in college football, you know, at that time, you know, was up and coming, black quarterback. You know, it wasn't like it was today, right? You know, and so like there was still quite a few, but like we both recognized the level of responsibility that we had, that we share, to go out there and perform, to hold ourselves to a high standard, and you know, and try to do it, you know, not only for each other, but for our team, you know. And so, you know, and just obviously with, you know, Watkins and family, Holly, you know, I mean, like I had a lot of people that I needed to make sure I didn't let down, right? You know, and so, you know, that motivated me.
Well, I appreciate it. Now, Mr. Pearsall gonna take over. You know, he got that jersey back there, man. I'm gonna get that jersey.
I see it.
Chris Lewis, aka C. Lou, aka Mr. California, aka top quarterback in the nation, aka Mr. Long Beach Poly, aka Mr. 110 touchdowns in 1 year, aka Mr. Hollywood, aka Mr. Smooth, aka Mr. Boys Under Pressure, aka Mr. Volleyball and Football, aka the original Watkins Stanford Cardinal, aka single-handedly made the Watkins Award a true national award. The real estate mogul, Christopher Lewis. Welcome to the show, brother.
Thanks, E.
good to see you, man. You know I'm bursting with excitement. I don't get to see you as often as I want to, but just let me take just 1 minute and paint the picture of what you've meant to the Watkins Award, and obviously we'll get a chance to talk about what you've meant to the world at large. Now, coming into 1998, which is when, at that time, we were looking at the athletes that we will now call the 99 class of the Watkins Award, we didn't have all the things that we have now. We had four guys that were in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, that we recognized. We had a guy in Pittsburgh. We had a guy in Houston. And all of them probably scratching their heads about this national award that we call the Watkins Award. But when you talk about a national award, you want to span from one coast to the other. And we were trying to figure out how to do that. Because even now, when people talk about this award, they say, we don't know about it if they haven't been touched personally. And so it continues to be a challenge. But to get an athlete of the caliber of a Christopher Lewis to look at this and actually say, this is something that's real, that I embrace, it's not an easy thing to do because they're getting hundreds of pieces of mail a day. And so I see on the front page of a student sport magazine, an individual with a football in one hand and a volleyball in the other. And I say, wow, this is a guy. And so I start doing my research and it talks about his scholastic aptitude, his family, all his peers, what everyone thinks about him. And then I start talking about, it starts to talk about how great of a volleyball player he is. And boy, this guy is the number one quarterback in the country. And we're talking about quarterback in the sport of football, the most important position. And I say, I got to have him. I got to get my stuff out to him. I got to make sure he knows the significance of the award. And so we send our stuff out with bated breath and my fingers and toes crossed. I want to make sure he understands the significance of the award. I didn't have to do as much work as I thought I had to because his family saw it, as I later found out, and they embraced what the award was all about. And even his principal, who is still a good friend and someone I'm in communication with frequently, in Mel Collins. But I had a chance to meet his sister, his brother, his aunt, his mother, his father, who is from Philadelphia. And really, I understand completely why this award was something that he responded to. And again, briefly, I'll tell you that that particular year, we didn't have the Black Tie Gala that we have now and all the accolades with the parade that we started to do in Charlotte. All we had was an announcement. But with that, he's still in the third quarter of a high school football game, packed it in, threw as many touchdowns that would separate him from the other team from a point perspective so that he could leave and go to the airport, catch a red eye, come to Charlotte, and be recognized for the Watkins Award. Absolutely amazing. And so when I talk about all of those things, and I'll tell that story over and over again because it'll never, ever happen again. When I get a chance to go to his environment there in LBC, the only thing I'd known about the LBC was your boy Snoop rapping about it and Warren G rapping about it. But when I got a chance to go there and see what that community is all about, I see that it's rife with gang violence and all the things that go on there in a different way than Baltimore. On that West Coast, it's a different animal. That gang violence and the way that you have to matriculate your way through that in order to be successful is something else. And I think that, you know, it cannot be overstated the focus and support that you need to go through that. How on earth do you become a great volleyball player, a fantastic and great football player, and an incredible academic All-American with all those distractions around you? Tell me how you did it.
I mean, it 100% comes down to the core of just family. I just had my dad passed away, you know, a little bit after Stanford. But I mean, between him and my mom and then, you know, just my extended family, I mean, they just wouldn't let anything slip, you know, and kept me busy all the time, right? You know, and growing up, I had no time, you know, and I'd go from football, volleyball, basketball, track sometimes, you know, and it was just a constant flow of activities that made me so focused in that like, I really didn't have time to be running around and getting into trouble. And so, you know, I attribute a lot to my family. Without them, I wouldn't be anywhere near where I am today.
And again, knowing that you face some things that I know other people will face coming out of your environment, whatever challenges, I know that everyone has their own story. And I always have to ask, give us an example of one or two, if you could think of it, but especially one obstacle that you faced in your journey through high school that you could have made a decision to go the wrong way, but you made another decision and you were able to overcome that obstacle. Just one example of two, if you have.
So long ago. I wish I was still young. You know, I mean, you know, to tell you the truth, it's probably not one single event. You know, I mean, you knew my dad. I mean, he was pretty yes. strict too, and I think, you know, a lot of the times, you know, there'd be parties and stuff at the games, et cetera, that like, I really wanted to go to, you know, but, you know, I had my dad there. He was just like, nope, stay focused, you know, and you would hear sometimes of, you know, some of those parties getting shot up and stuff like that, you know? And so like it would, you know, I mean, that kind of stuff like would stick with me, right? It's just like, hey, look, don't put yourself in these tough situations if you don't have to, right? You know,
right.
And, you know, not saying you got to cut everyone off and that there's a time and place for hanging out with everybody, but like don't overdo it if you don't have to. And so, you know, and it's just a sacrifice, I guess, if you have to make, you know, and it's going to feel like you're missing out on the world, but you're not, you know, and I could tell you, you know, once you get to that next level, you know, for one, college, beyond fun, you know, and you get to get out there and do all those things. And by that time, you're disciplined enough to to be able to handle that and to get the work done. And then that next step, when you get to the league, it's even more fun. You got to be even more disciplined, right? You know, and now you got money. You got to figure out how to take care of that. You know, so it's a lifelong journey. You know, and I think the trials and tribulations or things that you don't necessarily get yourself into that saves you for that next journey, right? For that next opportunity, is what you're looking for.
Now, a lot of the guys that are listening will have opportunities to be recruited, probably none at the level that you were. But and Tyrone talked about it a little bit, and I just wanted to touch on it once again. When you evaluated the schools and there were tens and tens and 20s and, just about as many as we've ever had for a Watkins individual, and you take a look at the strife that you have to go through to go to a Stanford versus, and I won't name, but another institution. I remember coming up to see you in the dorm room, and you were like, oh, yeah, I just got finished this paper. And I'd say, well, what are you going to do now? You said, another paper. Another paper. And so when you take a look at it, what in your mind helped you to make a decision to go to an academic institution with a great football team that is going to be something that challenges you as much? Because you know, my friend, I'll say that because Luke didn't make a decision as early as you did. You were the first Stanford guy. And I know that number is now in the realm of 15, 16 guys. I know Mike Eubanks knows that. But, somewhere in that number, you were the first guy. What makes you have the mindset that I want to take on the challenge of not only being the best football player at the college level, but be challenged in the classroom?
I think there was a combination of a few things. One, I had nothing but the utmost respect for Tyrone Willingham when I was, going through the recruitment process. I just his philosophy and how he approached life and how he was all about, not just the win, right? But he really pushed, progressing you as a man, off the field as well. And so, that just resonated with me, and then, like I said before, my sister was already there, got to be on campus. And if you guys, you've been on many times, but like the Stanford campus is it's like a country club, right? And just nothing I've ever experienced in my life. I was like, it can't be this nice out here, right? Am I supposed to be here, right? And so. So it felt really good to be there. And then on the football side, I liked where we were at, and the team at that point was on the rise, and I felt that we can compete, and that freshman year that I redshirted, we went to the Rose Bowl, and so I felt like I can compete at the highest level, and compete for championships at Stanford while getting a first-class education. There's no other school, I don't care what you say, there's no other school in the country that can match both athletics and academics like Stanford.
Now, if you think about all the things that you've gone through in terms of the challenges and, some of the obstacles, going from high school to college, into the NFL into your professional career, and you think about the Watkins Award, what has the Watkins Award meant to you throughout that entire journey from the beginning until now?
Well, I think just the relationships, I mean, you being the most, you were there from the beginning, right? When I was a youngin', just like, wait, I got to write an essay. and you were there, through everything. Just college and, with me looking at, agents and just the Blue and Nick and all those guys. You're just at this with this higher caliber of guys out there who share this similar drive that you have, and just to be successful, to uplift Black people, to just be that kind of shining role model as much as you can. And so, it will never leave, and I will always be a Watkins fan, and I know we said it many times, even though I didn't hold up the trophy at the end. Like, it made no difference. I've never in my life ever felt like, oh man, I lost a lot of people. No, no, no. Like, I was just part of this great moment in life, you know, and was worthy of leaving a playoff game, by the way, in the third quarter. it was a deal I made with my coach. I was like, hey, if I get, I forget what, how many touchdowns we agreed on, but like we got up a certain amount of touchdowns, you know, let me leave early so I can catch a flight. So, he gave me the comm and let me call up some plays in there and I was lighting them up. You know. And so, I was in my street clothes.
So I know that you've done a lot. And I knew you were one of our first guys that was involved with PAL. You go back and you give back to the community in terms of teaching younger kids through volleyball. You've given back to the community so much. Well, I'd like you to mention, give me an idea of some of the things that you've done in the community. And then tell us what you're doing right now. You know, I called you the real estate mogul. I have people to send to you all the time to teach them the business. But tell us some of the things you've done in the community. And then tell us what you're doing right now.
Yeah, sure. I mean, just... I'm always feeling like I'm just a facilitator and I get in where I fit in and just do and push as much as I can and do whatever I can. But, you know, I've sit on the board of directors for Boys and Girls Club of Long Beach in the past and, you know, really just, you know, pushing to create a safe space for kids throughout Long Beach, you know, because not everyone had the opportunities that I did, right? You know, and so, you know, that was really important for me. You know, I helped found this nonprofit this community development program called now everything's slipping my mind.
That's all right.
I'm so focused on my kids. I sit on our board for my kids' school now. Great. And I work with a company called Hudson Pacific Properties. And so we're a publicly traded real estate investment company. And so we own studios and office buildings up and down the West Coast. And so I oversee our efforts here in San Francisco on the negotiation side. So my role typically is I'm negotiating deals with the Googles of the world and getting them into our building and having fun doing
it. The powerful thing to note here is that when we talk about Watkins men, we talk about the fact that they've had high school and then college and then professional careers, but really where they're staking the ground always ends up in that realm of all the great things that they've done off the field, the scholastic aptitude and how it's taken them to their next career and into their family and all the things they've done as fathers and as husbands if they've had an opportunity to do so. One last thing I'll ask you before I turn you back over to Coach Tate. If there was one sentence or one phrase that you would leave for a kid who was listening to this show today, what would that one phrase or one thing that you hold on to, that you repeat to yourself, something you've heard, what would that one slogan, line, or phrase be for the youth of today?
Probably something Coach Willingham said to me. And he told me, you know, it's a marathon, not a sprint, you know, and you're going to have your ups and downs and you know, just keep persevering, just keep your head down and go. Right. Don't let the highs be too high and the lows be too low. Right. And just keep going, you know, set your goals and just go have fun.
Excellent, man. Come on, man. I was boiling with excitement. I don't get nervous when I do this show, boy, but I was just before you came on, boy, I was like all anxious. But thank you, man. You're great. Sure. You know, I love you.
No, all the way all from love, the West man. Coast. All love.
You know what it is, C. Lou Hollywood. I'll take you back over to Coach Tate.
Chris, you know what? It's time for us to end the show, but I'm glad your memory isn't that good because you alluded to him being out on that campus. I could have sworn I saw him in a yearbook at Stanford. He was out on that campus so much. But I'm not going to give the audience that opportunity. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, I just want you to know I had, you know, the great Chris Lewis here on our show today. I mean, you talking about quarterback extraordinaire from out there in California who just tore the record books up at Stanford. You got J. Everett Pearsall and Coach T. Tate here with the Watkins Award. We appreciate you listening to us, watching us. And oh, by the way, I should be seeing Roku Channel because I had Ed Ransom to send me one of those hate emails to tell me it's Roku. So, hey, Pearsall, whatever it is, all I know is his name written down there on that concrete down there in Stanford somewhere. Because he spending too much time in Palo Alto, but look here. Thank you for showing up, everyone. We got the great Chris Lewis here and the J. Everett Pearsall and myself. DK, we are out of here. We're out of here.
We'll see you, Chris. See you next Monday.
Tell the family we say hello.
All you gotta do is put your mind to it.